Okay, our next theme, I guess, to the afternoon is around the ANZ project. Our first paper is a joint paper from two speakers. The first person here is Jackie Whalen. Jackie has been subject librarian for music, theatre and film studies at Monash University for the last 4 years. And from May 2010 to November 2011, Jackie was on secondment as a research data librarian at Monash on the Research Data Collections Project. The second presenter of this paper is Paula Todd. Paula is a subject librarian for medicine, nursing and health sciences at Monash University on the Peninsula campus. For the period August 2010, she was seconded part-time to the Research Data Collections Project, also part of the ANZ projects and the Seeding the Commons initiative. And Paula and Jackie are going to speak about, talk on the Research Data Collections Project. Thanks.
First of all, a brief introduction. From April 2010 until December 2011, Monash University Library was funded by the Australian National Data Service to identify data collections from selected publicly funded research projects and make them more discoverable. In total, five library staff were seconded to the project with various time fractions. Paula and I, subject librarians from different faculties, along with Kerry, a third research data librarian who joined us for the last 4 months, that's Kerry, you can see on the stairs there, were involved in contacting researchers and working with subject librarians to conduct the interviews. There were other staff with crucial roles. Sam, our project manager, our metadata librarians, the repository manager, and the Arrow content librarian. We were supported by faculty team leaders, library directors, the university librarian, and the manager of the e-research centre. Overall, the library's involvement in the project and the support that the library offers researchers has raised the profile of the library within the university community. There were two objectives. First, to catalogue the data collections to the Monash University Arrow repository so that ANZ could harvest the records and make them available on their Research Data Australia website. The second objective was to build skills and knowledge for research data management within the library and provide opportunities for library staff to become more confident in promoting services for research data management. And it's this latter aspect of the project that we would like to share with you today. So here's objective B, or the second objective from the project brief. Looking back, we can see that the project has helped to build human capability amongst Monash University's 40 contact librarians and 8 Australian libraries supporting 10 faculties. At Monash, the contact librarians work in cross-campus faculties collaborating and sharing skills. We meet regularly, and there are also a number of cross-campus committees to share information and ideas. Prior to the ANZ project, librarians from these teams had some exposure to research data management through a series of regular seminars organised by the Data Research Management Coordinator. We were introduced to data management concepts and terminology, the issues facing researchers and the services that the university provides to researchers. The library was therefore well placed to build on this awareness when funding from ANZ became available in 2010. This slide illustrates steps in the project's process. We identified the researchers, conducted interviews, and we catalogued the data for the draft collection record. Then our researchers reviewed their records before a project was registered on the Research Data Australia website. Using this method, we interviewed 65 researchers and more than 30 librarians had participated in the interviews by December 2011. So researchers were identified for interviews via a recommendation from a subject librarian or a researcher using Monash's Registry of Research Projects, ResearchMaster. We contacted the researchers using an email template to ensure quality and consistency. The email included the aims of the project and the projected outcomes. We used tracking spreadsheets to record details. Project team librarians entered the information from the interview template and the data into the data entry form. Another Monash ANZ project provided custom interface with Research Master to make the links to party and activity keys. Records were then harvested into the Research Data Australia sandbox. These two stages relied heavily on the skills of the Arrow content librarian and the repository manager. In this detailed view of the tracking spreadsheet, you can see that we recorded details about the researcher and the interview. For example, contact details, name of subject librarian, date, time and location of the interview. It was a useful tool to keep track of the 65 interviews and all those who participated. A project team librarian generally conducted the interview and the subject librarian took notes backed up with a digital recording. This provided a safe and staged way for librarians to be involved. We also believe that the involvement of a trusted librarian made researchers more receptive to the request to participate. The interview here is from an education academic at our Peninsula campus. The next slide shows a question from the interview template from the same researcher. Our project manager used the mail merge function to pre-populate the interview questions template with the information from the tracking spreadsheet. Take, for example, the field of research codes. During the interview, we asked the researcher to verify the field of research codes, which were pre-populated from our source data. Then we asked the researcher to supply keywords to help users of Research Data Australia discover their data collection. The interview template was also used for note-taking and writing the first draft. A copy of the full questionnaire is available in the toolkit on the Monash University Library website. This interview template was part of a package of materials we took with us to interviews. We also took details of the researcher's project, the Australian and New Zealand standard research classifications where all the field of research codes are listed by subject, the pamphlet on Monash support for research data management, and a digital recorder. We asked each researcher for permission to record the interview to help us complete the interview template and write the description. Here's one of the comments from a subject librarian who participated in an interview. It certainly highlights the benefit of involving subject librarians who already had a working relationship with the researcher. Now we see the collection record for the same researcher on Research Data Australia. This screenshot shows the description of the data collection, the physical description, access rights and links to other investigators on the project, the party keys. All Monash data collection records are now viewable on Research Data Australia. Here we see the number of interviews undertaken by faculty representation. The medical faculty at Monash has the largest proportion of research. All 10 faculties were represented in the project. Here's another subject library.
During the project, the benefits for Jackie and I included assistance with identifying prospective willing researchers to interview, and their subject expertise helped establish a rapport with the researchers. This also helped us to enhance the depth and quality of the information gathered for the data collection record. We facilitated the interview process by arranging the interviews, supplying the workflows, templates and other support materials, and by coaching the contact librarians through the interview process. When we scheduled the interviews, we were sensitive to busy times in semester for both contact librarians and researchers, avoiding the starts of semesters, obviously. This meant we went to the researcher at a time and place that suited them. Sometimes we've travelled to places like the Alfred Hospital, and sometimes the researchers wanted to come to us in the library. Contact librarians were able to continue in their substantive roles and choose their level of involvement. Some were able to participate in more than one interview, and some of those were brave enough to volunteer to take the role of interviewer. Some assisted by typing their handwritten notes into the interview template, using the recording as backup, and others also wanted to view the collection record in the InfoPath form prior to uploading Data Australia. Following the project, we asked the contact librarians what they felt were the benefits for them from participating. These included building on existing working relationships with researchers or creating new opportunities for interaction and expanding their knowledge of data management processes. Quote from one of our subject librarians. And this one's particularly relevant, we think, for Monash because it is so large that quite often the researchers are simply at the end of an email, so it's a great opportunity to actually meet them. The interview template contained at least one question that related to each of these areas. It gave us a starting point for discussion with the researchers around their knowledge of these issues and the implications long term, in particular their ethics application and how this relates to the possibility of sharing data at the end of the project. Statistics from our project indicated that a high number of research projects had restricted data collections, mostly due to ethics limitations. Some were available by negotiation and a small number available on open access. Jackie and I believe this project led us to having a better appreciation of the needs of researchers, and in turn this allowed the researchers to see that library staff can offer awareness of and referral to data storage options and as early in the research process as possible. So we identified some issues for librarians. They fall basically into three categories. There are non-technical issues such as knowledge of national and institutional policy frameworks, copyright and IP, ethics, use of existing data, those types of non-technical issues. Awareness of institutional support services in relation to data came into the more technical type issues, in particular file formats for long-term retrieval, storage and backup, sharing and controlling access, organising and documenting the data. Future issues to be aware of surrounding publishing and dissemination are that some journals now expect that supporting data to be available for peer review and or publication, that there's an international trend towards open access to data in archives and repositories, sometimes to meet the funding requirements of the agencies, and early evidence from some disciplines that when data is publicly available, the publications get cited more. These are all comments that came out of the project, quite incidentally from the subject librarians, and they fit quite nicely into what we discovered. So staff development issues in research data management. Following the project, we conducted two workshops. These were organised by Sam Searle, our data management coordinator, for the library staff using mock case studies. These proved popular and highlighted the fact that librarians actually knew more about data management issues than they thought they did. It also highlighted they didn't need to be data management experts, but rather an avenue of referral to the relevant experts. The librarians themselves identify that general awareness of methodologies in faculty research areas assists them in understanding particular research issues. They also suggested a library guide or referral map could be useful, particularly moving to an online environment for research support. Right. So Monash is creating a holistic view of data management principles involving a number of centres in the university, including the library. The Research Data Management Strategic Plan has now been endorsed by the university. It helps to ensure that infrastructure and services are available into the future to help researchers store, organise and disseminate their research data. Part of this plan includes increasing the knowledge and skills of researchers through active programs of professional development, including a very comprehensive series of 8 modules in the Future Research Leaders program, which steps them through the research process from proposal to project close. Acknowledgements to the Australian National Data Service, Monash University Library, of course, and we would also like to make special mention of Sam Searle, who was our project management coordinator, for her outstanding support and leadership through the project. For those of you who knew Sam, you probably have heard the news that she's actually left Monash now and gone to a much warmer climate, which we're very envious of. And also a reminder that our research data toolkit is available at that URL or from a link from that URL. So if you haven't had the opportunity to have a look at it, I suggest go and have a look. It's got a number of useful resources for data management.
Thanks, Jackie and Paula, for that. Our final speaker today is Barry Tacker. Barry is liaison librarian at Deakin University with more than 20 years liaison experience, and recently has been a project officer with the Seeding the Commons project, and he'll talk about that project, the ANS project.
I'd like to just give a background to this discussion. My talk is going to be more of a snapshot view of a so-called project officer out in the field. I took over from a project which was started early in 2011, and one of the leading drivers of or the research officer involved in this project with Deakin Research Online was going to leave this project about August last year. I was introduced at the end of July to follow on from the main team leader, and we based our interview process, as well as the technology, etc. Software is another area that was developed at the beginning of 2011. By the time I came along, we had the Monash model of the questionnaire. So we have to acknowledge Monash's contribution, and also they were actually part supervisors, I think, of the ANS project in Victoria. Is that right? Victoria or Australia? Monash. A lot of it all goes to Monash in the end. So when I was seconded, the project actually was 2 months behind in deliverables. And the main aim of this project was to have completed data set proformas, which we were using the Monash interview questionnaire of 47 questions. We reduced it down to 37 for expediency. We had a different model. We're a smaller university and a variety of campuses, and I had hit the ground running because we were 2 months behind. And the funding of the project was determined by the amount of so-called deliverables that I had at a particular date. I was brought in because of my contact with the Geelong Technology Precinct Centre, and within that centre there are several research institutes. Within a month of my starting, the plan was changed to have other faculties and institutes brought in to add, I suppose, more variety and more of a challenge to the type of data sets that were coming across. So I had to then devise methods or upskill myself in a process, in processes, which evolved over several weeks. And selecting researchers, we had Research Master. We spoke to large groups of researchers, up to 120 from one institute. All nodded, but not one came forward. We used their homepage, the library homepage, to promote the project. We also had a fancy brochure with a scientist on the front, and by coincidence that instrument was part of another project that was downloading data was going into a server from a particular research institute that has over 200 researchers there, HDRs and 100 full-time researchers. There was confusion about the library's project, which we had with Deakin Research and ITSD, Information Services Technology Services Division, There's a little bit of confusion of where the library was in this scheme. So it required a bit of selling to researchers who thought that the Large Institute was already looking after them, but they only singled out two researchers, but looked as though they were already being taken care of. Where would we get the information from? I used librarians, research support officers, and newsletters, university websites, and the media. Already I had a pool of 100 researchers at my fingertips at any time to turn to because of my contact. Because the plan was changed, I had to then think strategically not to use that pool in 1 or 2 months, because where would I go after that? Because I was the only officer. And I would then use the serendipity method, as well as having the spreadsheet. We then had to have a pool or a reservoir of up to 20 or so interviewees in that spreadsheet. It would take up to several weeks for them to fill out their pro formas. The interview process was quite slow. We had to transcribe it, then send it out. We were then still 2 months behind. So actually, the serendipity was done as parallel to the systemic method of using Research Master and the emails. Researchers' attitudes varied. Some were actually warm and said, when can we start? Others were neutral. I am busy. Can you see me in several months? Or I'm overseas. I'll get back to you. I put my name down. The car park one was where I had intelligence coming from all angles. I had research support or managers, admin officers in all the key areas feeding me information on the whereabouts of all the key researchers. And every day I actually had a spreadsheet of my own where I knew where people were in the world. Some had signed, some didn't sign their pro forma. Others had to have partners to sign the pro formas. Some were joint projects. There was intellectual property. I then knew that two people were in Australia for a week, and I sat for an hour in the front of two officers. As they came out, I got one to sign and one to countersign. I got 10 data sets from that one meeting. That put us 2 weeks ahead of the project. And I knew that that researcher owed me big time. And that was from being out there. I door knocked because I was told every other day we still need two more data sets to meet the deadline. And these deadlines have special names. They are deliverable dates, milestones. There's all this technology, not technology, management terms, which are strategic terms, which are nearly military terms, targets. And in the end, I was using a term called kill. How many kills did I have for the week? I was going in for a target. And I nearly felt I was like in a B-17 bomber of World War II with kills on, or bomb drops on the side. I then realised I had to chill out and regroup. And we had team leaders, project managers, who were receiving information on a fortnightly basis. It was escalated up to top executives, and it was going to ANZ as well. Funding only came to us on these particular milestone dates, so I was under pressure. I was also asked to train up colleagues. Quite often they weren't available. They may have come to one interview but couldn't follow up. I had Yi Ching at Burwood, who would fill me in with intelligence on the whereabouts of people. And so I used consultative selling techniques, facilitating the relationship. In the end, I got the researcher to fill out the pro forma like this. I would talk to them for an hour to it. They would say, They're all bright, they're all doing ARC grant applications, they know their FOR codes, they know their subjects back to front. Why should I be filling out this form? How could I put in chemical formulas? They did it cut and paste, and one woman, one of the top researchers in Victorian obesity, spent 3 hours doing her form and she loved every minute of it. She put in 30 articles attached, and I had to go home and have a sleep afterwards. She was. I met her an hour before. She wanted to know all about research, Deakin Research Online, and she has a database on diabetes, which is one of the best in Victoria, from 1993 with the Geelong area. This is the DRO record, which then is harvested. It goes to Research Data Australia. It is on our repository. We have 66. I met about 132 people. I probably interviewed seriously 70. I spoke in groups up to 200. I had a room like this full of 70. As I said, the heads all nodded, but it was the one-to-one relationship that clinched it. This is a quote, what I want you all to read, and I found this on a researcher's wall. And I could see myself in that. I was not a genius. I call myself rather educated, and I had to think quickly on my feet. And there are two principles I discovered. Researchers are always busy, and they are time poor, and the lights between Laverton and the Westgate Bridge are always red. And it will never change, I think, for the next decade. And I had to interview people at 9 o'clock in the morning at Burwood. Next day I would be in Warrnambool, and I had liaison librarians quickly filling me in that someone is now available or back at Warrnambool or Burwood for a week, and then they're off to America. 90% of all the researchers were willing to sign their agree to for negotiation. One actually made their data freely available. Some, especially biologists, all their data was publicly out there. And there are three types of researchers. There are the warm ones who quickly want to accept. They're the neutral who are come back. It's a good idea. It's the best thing Deakin's done, but I'm busy. And then in consulting selling terms, there are the hostile who said, look, it's a good idea, but I'm not interested, I'm busy, I don't know who you are. You terminate that partnership straight away. And even though you know that person well, you can be surprised. And as by serendipity, you will meet some of the top researchers in hallways. You'll also see that if they are in the health area, they are in the Sunday Herald Sun every other week from Deakin. We must have something with the Herald Sun, and it usually deals with nutrition, psychology, obesity. Every person I contacted at my mother, I read the Herald Sun at my mother-in-law's. Every Sunday we'd meet, I'd have her paper, and I would contact that person within 2 days. They were so warm that they were out there. They were receptive, because if they were in the press, they were out there for publicity. And all of them were female. And so there's a gender thing there, I think. And a lot of them were new to Deakin. And they also had data from other universities. Because they were connected with Deakin and they were publishing, we could still use that data set. We had to clear these things with the ethics management area, the ethics area at... I haven't got the name down.